When President Obama vetoed the annual defense authorization bill earlier this month, most of the attention was on the overall federal spending levels and restrictions on closing the prison at Guantanamo Bay. But in a recent column for Forbes, our next guest, Charles Tiefer, points out that the president raised a lot of other objections having to do with wasteful spending and Congress's ongoing refusal to authorize another round of base closures. Tiefer is a professor of law at the University of Baltimore. He told me the other issues in the president's veto message deserve more public attention than they've gotten.
He devoted about a third of the veto message to issues of waste that came under several headings. And this is pretty striking because up till now on some of these waste issues, the defense committees in Congress and the sort of enthusiasts for defense spending on weapons rather than on anything else have said, well, Obama is not that serious about his objections to waste because he may put them in his statements of administrative position, but he's not going to veto the bill just because of that. And he hasn't vetoed defense authorizations in the past, but now they are. Now he has vetoed, and although it's only part of why, it's in the veto message. And so he's taken a big step forward both on Guantanamo and on waste by the veto. Let me give perhaps the number one example.
Sure.
The Defense Department has been asking for several years for the government to do another round of base closings. This is they create a national plan on an objective basis. It goes into effect. There's a way that Congress gets one chance to knock it down before it happens, but it's not subject to amendment. And so these have gone through. And this is where the Defense Department, in effect, studies all its bases throughout the United States and says, gee, we've had this one since World War II. We don't need this one over here. There are not many military users of it. Instead, we can transfer what's going on at this base over here to that base over there. It's a realignment. And the estimate of the last one is that it is saving us $4 billion a year. So, that was the 2005 base realignment and closure.
Right.
It was called BRACS. That was the 2005 BRACS. So it's time for another one, and one is asked for, and the lack of one in technical language is complained about in the veto message.
On BRAC specifically, this year's NDAA, instead of Congress just saying, hell no, don't even study it, don't even look at it ever, there was some language in the bill this time around that said, well, okay, go and study your excess infrastructure, also study, you know, your force structure needs in the coming years, and tell us how much excess you think you're actually going to have. So does that, to you, signal that their position has been softening, or is this just a stalling tactic as far as that goes?
That was notwithstanding that language, the veto message came down as it did. And it's clear that the perspective from the White House and the Pentagon is that you're never going to get real base closures if you wait for Congress to do it. Coincidentally, it happens that many of these bases happen to be in the districts and states of the members on the defense committees. And they just don't put forward legislation that says, please close this base down in my district so that my constituents will hate me and vote me out. So that it's not much of an offer that they say, study it and bring us the information.
So back to the issue of the veto itself, in the time since you've written your column, there has been a tentative deal between the White House and Congress on overall budget levels. Presuming Congress sends back an NDAA that reflects that, I guess the question is, do the rest of the issues that the president outlined in the veto continue to warrant another veto now that the budget issue is out of the way?
Oh, I definitely think that the budget deal is going to bring at first some hope by the defense committees that, gee, now this means we can basically take the bill that was vetoed do what the budget deal requires and send it right up for signature and not do anything else. I think that's going to be their first thought.
Right.
But the administration is going to be reminding them about the other issues, the waste in the Guantanamo Bay. And just so it's clear what a sticking point this is, President Obama has made closure of Guantanamo one of the main items he wants in his legacy as he leaves the presidency. And we're not that far away. There are only like 140 prisoners still there. It's come down by hundreds and hundreds since the peak. And he sees it as quite close. The remainder, you just have to, some can still be transferred to third-party countries, and the remainder you could bring to a military prison within the United States. And he wants this in his legacy, and he put it in the veto message. And there was indeed an extra announcement made by Jay Carney, apart from the veto message, specifically on this point. And so they have to reckon that it's entirely possible that even putting the waste aside, if it was just Gitmo, that the president might veto the next bill. And as for the waste stuff, I believe that an early draft of the budget deal said that they have to find $5 billion to cut from defense spending. Now, that's not impossible. That's about like 1%. Right. That can be managed. But there are two different ways to do it. The quick and easy way that might appeal to the defense committees is either to cut administration priorities or, even worse, just cut readiness. Just take it out of operations and maintenance and out of readiness and out of taking equipment that we have in the past and overhauling it and rebuilding it and getting it ready and so forth. And on the other hand, the president's people are going to say, what do you want to cut readiness even further? We were complaining in our statements about how far you cut it. We want it to be cut from places where the waste are. And those places, again, signaled in the veto message. Those places are things, there were extra FA-18 Super Hornets bought that the Defense Department did not want. There were extra F-35s bought. The Joint Strike Fighter that the Pentagon, the Defense Department didn't want. And so there's going to be, there might even be, therefore, a battle over that $5 billion that's in the budget plan.
On the budget deal, there was, as I understand it, some loosening of the BCA caps, but they also agreed to use overseas contingency operations funds to fund a good part of the Pentagon, northward of $50 billion, I think, which is basically the same gimmick that Congress was using in the NDAA. I know you have some experience with overseas contingency operations, having sat on the Wartime Commission. What's your feeling on this continuing use of OCO?
Oh, it's extremely unfortunate. That overseas contingency account as a dangerous, flexible account that is outside the budget structure. It's basically a license to print money by the Pentagon. But the constraint was supposed to be that it was supposed to be for overseas contingencies, which is defense language for Iraq, Afghanistan, real wars, maybe now ISIS, Syria and Iraq would be in the overseas contingency account. It makes no sense to fund regular expenditures that you would expect to be budgeted for in this outside account. And all during the period when the past almost, well, as long as the defense authorization has been in front of Congress, the pitch by the administration was, if we fund through the overseas contingency account, we're not providing predictability for the future. We're not saying the money will be there in the future. Anytime that loophole is closed, the money wouldn't be there. And so they're doing it through the loophole. It means for the future, there is no predictability about how much loophole money they'll make available in future years, and the planners just can't plan.